From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Monday, the 23rd day of January. Well, a U.S. senator who agrees with a new president on many issues disagrees with him on one issue key for agriculture, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Deal, or TPP. Longtime ag senator and former finance chair Chuck Grassley is an establishment politician, especially when it comes to free trade. Grassley was asked whether President Donald Trump's Secretary of State pick, Rex Tillerson, if confirmed, would bring his pro-TPP views to bear on the new administration, where Trump and U.S. Trade Representative pick Robert Lighthizer are opposed.
In regard to the overall statement by Tillerson, I doubt if it'll have much of an impact because the president's so far out on the limb on TPP, that if the United States does anything along the lines of TPP, there's going to have to be some substance of change, if that's even possible. But there's going to have to be some substance of change just for the sake of the president's saving face.
Now, Grassley says there's already international posturing in response to the president's threat to impose stiff duties on imports from China, Mexico, and elsewhere. But the Iowa senator offers this.
Once you get into office, I think the office of the presidency, and you might say the environment of the Oval Office, has a moderating influence. Doesn't matter whether you're coming in as a very left-wing person or a very right-wing person. You soon wake up to the responsibility of the office, and once you have to deal with these issues, it tends to moderate views.
Now, Grassley sees China's recent actions against U.S. corn, wheat, rice, and distiller dry grains partly as a possible response to Trump, while also acknowledging a WTO subsidy case the U.S. brought against China last year. Grassley was meeting last week with Trump USTR pick Lighthizer, who served as a Senate finance staffer some 30 years ago. Grassley says the outspoken Lighthizer has extensive trade knowledge, but he questions what positions Trump will ask him to take. Well, a day before his inauguration, now President Donald Trump praised the pick for Ag Secretary. Former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue, at a candlelight dinner for donors and politicians, Trump spoke about Perdue's experience as a farmer and said others who wanted the job as Secretary of Agriculture had never even seen a farm. Well, we'll be back with more right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot. As a matter of fact, we're headed to Minot tomorrow for the KMOT Ag Expo. We'll be in the Legacy Seed Booth. Stop by, visit with Mick and myself, find out exactly what kind of yields you had in the crops last year. And of course, it's always good to visit with agricultural producers and find out how their crops did last year and, of course, what their plans are for the upcoming year. You're also listening on Farm News and Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, Ag News 890, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, with recently becoming the number one corn importer, Mexico is proving to be an important market for U.S. farmers. Ryan LeGrand serves as the U.S. Grain Council Director in Mexico, and he provides an update of the grain flow into Mexico.
Last crop year, 15-16 crop year, we imported over 13 million tons. And if you look at the calendar year this year of 2016, we're going to get very close to 14 million tons. So that'll be two straight years of record corn imports for Mexico. So Japan used to be the number one corn importer, and Mexico took over that spot this year.
Now, under the North American Free Trade Agreement, LeGrand says trade is quadrupled between the U.S. and Mexico.
The animal sectors in Mexico have greatly benefited from the phasing out of tariffs and quotas for U.S. corn and other grains into Mexico. When NAFTA was implemented, the Mexican animal production sector was really in its infancy, and today, it's grown to really a state-of-the-art industry. and it rivals any of the top feed industries around the world.
Now, he says if NAFTA is weakened in the future, farmers in the U.S. will feel the pinch.
It'd be a pretty bad situation for American farmers if NAFTA is weakened or changed or thrown out the window, God forbid. We really don't want that to happen, because what you would probably have is an increase in tariffs. So it would cause the Mexicans to look south, look to Brazil and Argentina for more of their corn. And that would cut into our market share and eventually affect the price of U.S. corn.
Now, he says Mexico has the potential to grow as an importer of U.S. grains in the future.
Now, I think we're going to continue to grow. As I mentioned, Mexico's animal producers are very technologically advanced. They're progressive. They're growing, which means more production in Mexico and more need for grains, which should be U.S. grains if we, you know, as long as we keep NAFTA in place.
And you can learn more about the work by the U.S. Grains Council to promote trade online at grains.org. Now, President Donald Trump, you've heard NAFTA. He's talking about discussions to scrap it. We'll find out more as we get into the Trump administration. Well, also, as we talk about what's going on inside agriculture, the Pork Checkoff is focused on identifying and developing the next generation of leaders and decision makers for the swine industry. And to that end, an investment is made in scholarships for college juniors and seniors. Pork Checkoff Animal Sciences Director Chris Hostetler says surveys are conducted to track the effectiveness of the program. Hostetler cites the 2010 scholarship recipients.
92% of those respondents were actively involved in agriculture, and 75% of them were specifically involved in the swine industry. And in fact, that class of recipients resulted in 7 master's degrees, 3 PhDs, and 3 DVM degrees. And so I would say that, the design of the industry scholarship is to pick out those individuals who are seeking to be involved and seeking to further their education. I would say that the program is doing specifically what it's designed to do.
Now, the deadline for the current round of scholarships is February 17th.
Scholarship applications are available on our website, www.pork.org, and individuals can go there. There's three things that they need to complete. The first is an online application form. The second is they need to have their official transcripts, academic transcripts, sent to us. And the third is they need 2 letters of recommendations.
And Chris Hostetler, Pork Checkoff Director of Animal Sciences. We'll be back with more right after this. While the National Pork Producers Council says the last-minute organic animal welfare standards from USDA create significant barriers to existing and new organic producers, Michael Clements has more in this report.
NPPC says the rule strictly dictates how organic producers must raise livestock and poultry and specify, without scientific justification, which common practices are allowed and prohibited in organic livestock and poultry production. The regulation was cleared by the Office of Management and Budget Wednesday, the last step before becoming final. NPPC Deputy Director of Science and Technology Dan Kovich says the provision on outdoor access conflicts with best management practices to prevent swine diseases and would also be damaging to farmland.
From an environmental standpoint, having large numbers of pigs outside is not going to be very good for the ground. You know, unlike grazing ruminants, pigs are foragers, they root, and they did say that they were going to refer it back to the National Organic Standards Board so they could come up with minimum outdoor space requirements that would allow for vegetation to be maintained on ground that had pigs. So I'm sure most of your listeners are just going to hear that and intuitively know that would take a lot of ground if you're going to put pigs out there and expect that they're not going to really harm the vegetative cover on that ground.
He says the final rule also takes away producers' access to common best practices for raising pigs.
It takes away a lot of producer option in terms of implementing proven strategies such as teeth clipping, tail docking that can preserve pig well-being and health. You know, but I think that the biggest thing now is people just don't know what's coming down the pike in terms of what type of outdoor access these pigs are going to need to have. You know, right now, the rule does still require they have outdoor access. It just doesn't have to be the ground. It's what they call soil. I don't know why anyone would want to go into organic pig production until that issue is settled. And once it's settled, it's never going to be settled in a way that's going to protect animal health.
Kovich says the rule is receiving bipartisan opposition in Congress.
The Senate Agriculture Committee, both the chairman, Roberts, and the ranking member, Stabenow, have both expressed displeasure with this rule. So I think producers that are concerned, they need to make sure that their elected representatives in Congress remain aware of this issue. For those that have already spoken out against it, express support for their continuing efforts. And of course, we're all going to just need to educate the new administration coming on Friday. This is one of those rules that came out at the last minute that's not good for producers. It's not based on sound science. It really is certainly not going to make organic pork any more available or affordable to people.
Michael Clements reporting.
Well, we'll take another break here. And when we come back, Canada exporters are fretting over the import tax proposal, which means some Canadian businesses could move to the U.S. to save money. We'll talk about that next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While exporters in Canada are scrambling to avoid a potential 10% import tax promised by new U.S. President Donald Trump, now in evaluating options, some are even considering moving production or supply lines south of the Canadian border into the United States. Now, amid warnings from the Bank of Canada last week, protectionist policies brought in by Trump could drive companies to invest in the U.S. rather than Canada. Executives told Reuters their search for options has already begun. National Bank Financial estimated a 10% border tax could cause Canada's total exports to the U.S. to drop by about 9%, with non-petroleum goods sinking almost 11%. Exports are expected to drive about a third of Canada's economic growth in 2017, behind only consumption and government spending. Well, 2016 was a successful year for potato growers in the Northwest United States. Total U.S. potato production was up 1.7% last year, and the largest increases took place in Idaho, up 6.8% over year, and Washington, up 6.2%. Northwest Farm Credit Services' Michael Stoip says high Northwest potato yields are oversupplying markets and are limiting open potato upside.
Canadian imports add to ample U.S. supplies, incented by the strong U.S. dollar. Notwithstanding these challenges, contract potato growers remain profitable. However, returns to uncontracted potato growers are generally below the cost of production.
Now, Stoip added, the outlook for fresh market potatoes is bleak for the remainder of the 2016 season, with price support capped again by ample supplies. Export conditions are expected to be a continual challenge for producers into the future. While overall inflation over the last 12 months increased 2.1%, but food prices remain unchanged, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers was up 0.3% in December, with gasoline prices up 3%. But the food at home index fell 0.2%. Its eighth consecutive decrease that reflects an overall 0.2% decrease over the last 12 months. Four of the six major grocery store food group indexes fell in December. The fruits and vegetables index posted the largest decline, falling 1.1%, as the index for fresh fruits declined 2.2%. The index for meat, poultry, fish, and eggs fell 0.4% in December, as the beef index fell 0.8%, and the index for eggs decreased 3.9%. The index for non-alcoholic beverages fell 0.3%, and the cereals and bakery products index declined 0.1%. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.